with how you feel about it. Okay, so tonight we're talking about, our title is Our Spiritual Authority. Our Spiritual Authority, and our topic is the authority of every believer. And I'm going to start by reading a text, a few texts from Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke unto them. Let me just do something here. I forgot to send you guys this. Okay. Did you find the scripture, guys? Okay. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so that's the scripture I want to start off with. And Jesus said, I gave you power. That word power is actually the Greek word authority. You know, exousia in the Greek. I'm not Greek, by the way. I know a Greek man. I know a little bit of Greek from just studying the word. In fact, you don't have to know the Greek to understand the Bible. It's good to know some things, but you don't have to. And thank God for the word. So it says here, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So in heaven and on earth, all power, all authority he's given, Jesus said. Now, these are words that Jesus spoke just before he left for heaven. Just before he went. And people said, you know, one of the most important things people leave with you before they die is what did they say last? Before they leave, when they know they're leaving. And this is kind of a funny story, but most people don't say, I wish I would have made more money when they died. You know? I wish to spend more time at the office. But people always say things, you know, I wish I would have told people I love them. I wish I would have, you know, hugged more, loved more. But here Jesus is leaving, but he knows he's coming back, and he's telling his disciples. He said, I'm going, but I'm going to give you authority. God gave Jesus authority. But then when he left, he transferred that authority. That power or authority that Jesus gave us is what we call delegated authority. Jesus gave every one of us power or delegated. He delegated you with the power to do something with, to live a happy life, to live demon-free. Amen? And so he said, I'm going to give you this power. I got it from my Father. I'm now going to transfer it to you. Did you know that we are the body of Christ? We're part of the body of Christ. We're the part of the body. Every Christian person all over the world, every church all over the world that believes in Jesus, washed in the blood of the Lamb, they're a part of the same body we are. They'll make up, you know, the universal body of Christ. Everybody in the world who's made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, they're in the same body. Jesus is the head, we're the body. And we're with Jesus. Jesus is our head, we're the body. And we're the only body that's going to do something in this world. And a lot of people are waiting for God to do something, but he's given us power in this world. So I'm going to... The reason I'm telling you that is because this is important for what we have to say next. So the point tonight is all believers have power over all the power of the enemy, over all devils, every devil. We talk about demons, devil, evil powers. They're all the same. And so we don't have, you know, we don't have to be dominated by the devil. People say, well, I've never seen any devil. Well, listen, there's a devil. The Bible says Jesus talked about it. The apostles talked about it. If you read the Bible, there is a devil, and he's out. John 10:10 says, Jesus said, the thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's his MO. That's what he wants to do, to steal, to kill and destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have life. Or Zoe, the God kind of life, the God quality kind of life. I want to give you the God kind of life in this world. You might have abundant life. You know? And so we need to have this abundant life flowing. So we don't have to be dominated. We'll see later in Luke 10:19. We'll read that scripture later. We are not under his power. We are not under the authority of the demon powers of this world or the devil's power of this world. We have a new Lord. We used to be dominated even when we didn't know we were dominated by the evil one. But today, you and I are free from the grip of the enemy. We're in a new kingdom. We've come from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Can you say amen out there? Right? So thank God that we've changed kingdoms. I like what Jesus said. And you know, Matthew chapter 4:16, it says, one of my favorite scriptures in there, when we talk about that, when we talk about the light, you know, the people who sat in the region of darkness, light has sprung. Hallelujah. Those who sat in the darkness, in the region of darkness, those who sat in the prison, Isaiah said, those who sat in prison, light has come to shine on them. Hallelujah. Amen. So we used to be dominated by the enemy, but not anymore. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says that we have been transferred. We have been transferred. When you were born again, you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, we've been baptized into the body. That's not water baptism. That's spiritual baptism. That's a different kind of baptism. The word baptism means to put into, to be fully put into. So you and I right now, as a child of God, when you became born again, when you accepted Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit took you and put you into the kingdom of light, put you into the body of Christ. Now you are no longer dominated by the kingdom of darkness. That's why a lot of us who were born again, all of a sudden the light came on and we had no more depression. That's one of the first things that happened to me as a born-again believer. You know, I was home alone asking, you know, praying as a young student at college. And I heard Billy Graham said, you can invite Jesus. If you've never done this before in your life, you can do it right now wherever you are. Just pray this prayer with me. So I prayed with Billy Graham, and I invited Jesus into my life. And suddenly, this warm feeling came all over me. And all of a sudden, this awareness of the presence of God, amen, and it came into me. And I came into a brightness of the things of God. And for a few days, I walked around in the glory of God. Hallelujah, amen. And all of a sudden, I realized there was no more depression. All my life as a little boy, as a teenager, as a preteen, pre-teenager, and now as a young adult, I had no more depression. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah? Hallelujah. Amen. I was happy. When you come, you know that you stepped out from light, from darkness into light. You know, the fourth chapter talks about it. When you come to Jesus, I believe the 24th chapter somewhere in John talks about, you know, we switch kingdoms. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a little excited tonight because the Lord spoke to me about this. You know, here, you know, I'm going to talk about something here for a few minutes there. Demons and sickness. And over Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 13, Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 13, I'm reading the King James Version. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on a Sabbath. How many people, you know, you need to know that Jesus comes to the synagogues, he comes to the church on Sunday. Amen. He comes, that's what his custom was, he come to church. And so he came to the synagogue on a Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And she was bowed together and couldn't nowise lift herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and he said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Hallelujah. Jesus said that this woman had a spirit of infirmity. And, the Bible says that he said that Satan had bound her. Sickness is bondage. Anybody knows that sickness is bondage? If you're sick, you can't do certain things. If you're a diabetic, you can't eat ice cream. That's bondage. And that's real bondage. You know, if you're crippled and you can't get out of your house, you're in bondage. And there's various kinds of bondages. There's people that, they have bondages in their soul. You know, someone asked, can a Christian be demon-possessed? No, they cannot be demon-possessed. Unless you deny Jesus, you can be demon-possessed. But a Christian cannot be demon-possessed. He can be demon-oppressed. You can have a demon in your body or in your mind. But you don't have to have one unless you want it. Well, nobody wants to have a demon as a pet or anything. You know, you want to be free from it, right? I mean, I'm speaking both by just understanding this and taking courses and over the years, studied for 40 years the Bible, and I've been around a little bit. And I met a few devils, too. and I cast a few out. And they try to talk to you. And, they could use a person's voice, evidently. And it happens. And so you can be free. You can be free. You can be free. Amen? So it's no use being afraid if you're a Christian. There's so many people afraid of the devil. They're afraid that he's going to show up. But sometimes he does show up. Wah! In fact, one day, me and Pastor Ken was walking. We just said something to somebody and said, wah! these things that happen to you, you don't have to look for it. If there's a devil in someone, if someone's possessed, and I happen to be there, they'll know me. It's like they knew Jesus. He said, I know who you are. And they'll tell you stuff. I saw you at Walmart today. And then so anyway, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere very strange. I'm just telling some things there. This is not in the Bible. So apparently, some spirits can cause sickness. We see it over and over in the Bible. We see devil, Jesus casting spirits out, and they cause some sickness. And let me just say this for some people who are misinformed. Not every sickness, not every person who is sick has a devil. And not every person who has a mental illness has a devil. I said not everyone who is sick or has a mental illness has a devil. You know, you can be sick in the head like you're sick in the stomach. Has nothing to do with the devil. But all diseases, essentially, are from the devil. Jesus doesn't give people, or God doesn't give people, sickness to teach them a lesson. He gives you the word to teach you. And he sends preachers to teach you. God doesn't make you sick so that someone else will get born again. He doesn't go around breaking legs and making you lose your children and have misfortunes and have you have your car crash and you walk around, crippled. And God doesn't do that. Now there's another God who can do that. He's called the God of this world. And he can get into people's lives if they allow him or unwittingly, ignorantly allow the devil come in their lives through wrong thinking. and wrong teaching. I used to be afraid of the devil. That's why a lot of times, you know, I don't get afraid of haunted houses. I just get afraid of people that are in haunted houses. If I was walking somewhere and you jump up, I'd be afraid. You know? In fact, some of you right now, if I saw you, I'd be afraid. And you say, take that mask off. Anyway, that's a bad joke. Sorry. Acts 10:38. Here's the Bible, what Peter said about Jesus. How many people know that Jesus was anointed? Jesus himself said, I'm anointed. He announced in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, he said, hey guys, I'm anointed to deliver people. I'm anointed to heal the sick. And did you know that God still calls people to do certain things for him? And if you did have a healing anointing, or if you did have something about deliverance, you would know it. And other people would know it. If I was a prophet, you would know it. Amen? You would know it if God did something, you would know it. It would be demonstrated by signs. And God will give you to demonstrate to you that he's called you to a certain office, and he'd tell it to other people to show them that you are called by the signs, the gifts that are operating in your life. And so that's, you know, if you got something, then we'll know it. Glory to God. Now, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Because that's the human side of Jesus. You know, Jesus, you know, in heaven, he didn't have to be anointed. He's already anointed. But Jesus became a man, the Bible said. That's why he had to be anointed. Philippians chapter 2, it talks about that Jesus laid down his power and became a man and had to be anointed. And so, you know, we could do things under that anointing. So, he's anointed with what? The Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we see here that all Jesus healed was oppressed of the devil. So evidently there's devils that are causing sickness. They might not necessarily be there, but it can be. Well, everything is from the devil in that fact, but not every sick person has a devil there. So don't be looking around for devils if someone's sick, or thinking or guessing that there is one when there's not one, and cause a lot of trouble and confusion around people. God is not about confusing people. And, you know, if you had a gift, God would tell you have a gift. In fact, if you knew that, you wouldn't even advertise it. You wouldn't. Because you would be smarter than that, and you'd be wise enough not to confuse people. Are you guys doing okay tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Bible also said the madman of Gadara in Luke chapter, I can't remember what verse is this, but in Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 19, we see the story of the madman of Gadara. And there, apparently this guy, he liked to hang around the tombs or the graveyard. The Bible said he'd rip his clothes off and cut himself. Maybe some people who cut themselves have a demon. Maybe, I don't know. Might not be, but apparently people who cut themselves, we see that in the Old Testament too. People cut themselves. But this guy, apparently, he did that. So we see that over here. And the Bible says that this guy who apparently had a devil, the Bible says that this man had a legion of devils. Now, if you read the story, as they say, with glasses colored with tradition, you read things because in your tradition of church, you read things. Like I used to read things, and I just took whatever they told me before, because some people who evidently were not pastors or trained teachers, they just went in and taught different things, and they didn't know any better. I guess they thought this helped us, but they tell us different things that wasn't truth, the full truth. And some of us got afraid of different things and got away, didn't follow the way we should. And in Mark chapter 5, it talks about this guy here had 2,000 demons affecting his life. The Bible says there that, Jesus went to him, and the fact that that evil spirit, who was actually the power that was in him, began to speak to Jesus through the man's voice. See, only one demon can possess a man, but the rest are there on that person. So in that story, if you don't understand the background of it, this guy was evidently, he had some problems there with this, infested with it. So I don't have time to teach you about the whole thing about that, but we see something there that evidently that there is a demon power. So Jesus, when you read this, you think that when he was talking to the demon, that everybody heard everything, and that when the demon spoke, send us into the swine. That evidently was not, everybody didn't hear that, but Jesus talked to the one demon and everybody heard it. There was what was going on there was discerning a spirit. And, I could be talking to you right here, and I could be talking to Jesus at the same time. I could see in the spirit and talk to you at the same time. Because of the gifts of the Spirit. I could be talking to you right now and see something else in the spiritual realm by discerning a spirit. Or God could show me right now something about your day this afternoon, which is called, the word of knowledge. I can tell something about what happened to your life today through word of knowledge, and actually see you driving your car or in your home or something like that, and actually give you and tell you what happened. And tell you right now how you feel. But that's not normal counseling. This is spiritual counseling. God does that and can show you that. And, that happens to me just a smidgen once in a while, where I'll know something about someone, especially with healing. I'll know what's wrong with someone. And I was, I don't know. I never did ask you this. When we cast the devil out of a person and they were talking to me, did you hear it, Anita? When we were at that one place where the devil was talking, and I was talking to the person, they were talking to me, and the devil spoke out of that person. Like, sometimes you're in the spiritual realm. I was always telling that one incident where, it was pretty evident I was preaching the message, and the Lord said to me, there's a person back there, a lady, would you call her out? I want you to pray for her. I was preaching a message on healing. And I just discarded as just my own thought. Then it came up a second time. And I kept going. I said, I'm doing really good here. I don't want to be messed up here, because listen, this teaching is going real good right now. And it came up the third time. And I knew it was the Lord. The Lord reminded me that if I speak three times, it's me talking to you, saying the same thing. Just like, when the Lord told me to go to Rhema, he spoke to me three times. I'm praying. I came home from my office. I told my wife she's making lunch. So I came home for lunch. And I said, okay, I'm going to just go pray for a while. Can you call me when you're ready? So I'm there praying, and the Lord come and talk to me. And he said this to me. He said, you need to go to Rhema, and I want you to go now. He was very adamant about it, and I just discarded that same thought as well. Three times. And so I said, okay, Lord, whatever you said, Listen, sometimes when God talks to you, you don't always understand everything. And sometimes when God shows you something, you don't always understand everything. Don't try to make sense out of it unless God shows it to you. So I was able to talk. I was able to, discern that God was talking to me. So in that situation where I was casting the devil out of a person, the Lord spoke to me. I heard the Lord speak to me in my spirit. It wasn't audible. Nobody else heard it. I heard it. You know, like it's like when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Like when some people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they just, didn't feel anything. They didn't go out in the Spirit. But evidently, I went out in the Spirit. Not everybody has that experience. And you don't have to have that experience. God gave me something. Evidently, why he did it was for some very important reason, because of ministry. So he visited me in a very powerful way. And I went out in the Spirit. And I heard the Holy Spirit. I felt the Holy Spirit. Now, there was no water in the auditorium, but I felt water. Like, and I heard pouring, and I felt rain, and I heard the wind of the Spirit. Well, nobody else heard it. I did. That's a discerning of spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the wind is significant of the Holy Spirit. Right? Water is a distinction of the Holy Spirit. Rivers are a distinction of the Holy Spirit. That's what I experienced at the same time. And not only, but the presence of God was so wonderful. And even when I was having that experience, the devil spoke to me and said, "You're going crazy." And my response was, "Man, this is great. I want to be crazy. Give me some more crazy. I want it." It felt so wonderful. Cried and had such a powerful experience. Now, these experiences for me, because God called me to the ministry. And I mean, Brother Hagin told us later on, decades later, I understood this. When you're called to the ministry, God calls you sometimes in a very spectacular way so that you have no doubt about it. Because when I came here, when I came to preach and announce that, hey, I'm called to the ministry, people were aghast. You cannot be a pastor. Look at all the stuff you did in your life. Look at this, look at that. And Romans 8 says, who dares to accuse the one I have, forgiven and brought up? I'm the one. You know, if you read chapter 8, thank God. So sometimes God shows you something to show you, to demonstrate to you that he's called you. And so if you're called to some kind of ministry, God will show you without question. So when Jesus announced that he was called to the ministry of healing and deliverance and so on, he got up and I like to say he did a press conference. He said, "I want to let everybody know I'm called to the ministry." And in that church, so to speak, it's a synagogue, Jewish synagogue, and everybody there was aghast. Jesus, who could call? Who does he think he is? We know him. He's from our town. We know his mom and dad. We know his parents. And all the demons were so mad. You know? And it riles you up. If you got the anointing, it'll rattle some people around. Religious people. So evidently we see that there's an association between sickness and demon. A demon. Jesus one day went to the synagogue and he told a man who was sick and crippled, he said, he didn't say you're healed. He said your sins are forgiven. Given. Get up and walk. A sick man. He says, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. And we see the connection between what Jesus did on the cross. And how it's linked that sickness and sin are, when that happens, when people come to God, they get healed of something. I was listening to a comment of someone who said that Billy Graham crusade, when some people who came to Jesus in the other countries, lots of them were healed as they came forward. Amen? So, the devil has, he knows, this is something he does not want you to know, that you have authority over him. He does not want you to know that you have a right to exercise power over him when he attacks you. You have a right in these areas. Number one, you have a right for him not to touch you, your body, or yourself. Your mind is your mind. You say, I'm getting attacked. No, you have authority over your mind. You have authority over your body. And you have authority over your own choices. You can make a choice anytime to follow God or do right or wrong. Anytime, even if you're not a Christian, you still have a will. Amen? And here's another thing. You have authority over circumstances that would cause you to not follow God or to know the things of God. So you have authority over situations that would try to keep you from following Jesus. Or you could say another way, you have authority over circumstances. And then finally, you have authority, number three, is you got authority over Satan and all his demons. You have that power right now. And don't go looking for devils tonight. I mean, he knows where to find you. In fact, he's waiting for you in the dark out there. Here's something here. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, and behold, you know, Jesus was coming, you know, he was coming and the devils knew him. He said, behold, they cried out saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? So evidently, the devil has a certain time. Right now, as we sit in here in this auditorium, the devil has a right to be in this world. You can't cast every devil over the atmosphere over Thunder Bay and get rid of every devil. You can't do it. Jesus didn't teach his disciples to go to cities and cast every devil over the atmosphere because they have a right to be here yet. Until there's a time when he'll be taken out. The apostles never taught about taking authority over cities and regions. But yes, there are principalities and powers, but they don't have to be your Lord. And you don't have to be afraid of them. Now, a great revelation is given to us in the epistles. Let's go look at this for a second here. And we'll read some of those other scriptures that, you know, tell us about, you know, the demons. They only have a certain time here. You're right now an authorized dealer of deliverance of God. You've been authorized. Say, I'm an authorized dealer of deliverance. So you can deliver someone if they need to be delivered. You can go knocking on doors tonight. You need deliverance in here? They say, yeah, shut up. Get out of here. Close the door on you. I knew you guys were crazy. First time I lay eyes on you. So, here's Paul's prayer. And this is something you should pray for yourself, for your family. Certainly pray this for me as your pastor. Let's go to Paul's prayer. This is a Pauline prayer, or people call it something else. I like to call it Pauline prayer, or prayer for the Ephesians. But the prayer of Ephesians is for us too. Verse 16, chapter 1 of Ephesians. This is a great revelation. Everybody say, great revelation. Great revelation. So this is for you tonight. Yeah. Amen. Okay, so I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying what he's praying about, the Father of our glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Some version says, in the knowledge of who you are in him. That's what he wants you to know. Who are you? Who are you? Who made you? You know, God made you. Watch this. God wants you to have wisdom and revelation. He wants you to have supernatural knowledge. This knowledge is not brought into schools. This knowledge you can't find in any elementary school, in kindergarten. You can't find this in high school. You can't find this in colleges and universities. This is revelation knowledge for the church. Hallelujah. He says, the eyes of your understanding, that's your spirit, being enlightened. We need to have our spirits lit up with knowledge and wisdom of God, that we may know what is the hope of his calling. Some version says that you may know your purpose, know God's calling in your life. And that verse goes on to say that you would know what belongs to you. What is your inheritance? God wants you to know what is your inheritance. Amen? And one of the inheritance really is to have the ability to exercise over demon power. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? To us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or demonstrated in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. He said, God raised Jesus from the dead and put him positionally at his right hand. When God did that, you and I went there with him. We're at the right hand of God with Jesus. Amen. And so, look at this. He says at the right hand in heavenly places, latter part of verse 20, verse 21 says, far above, everybody say far above. He says, all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. See, God has given us this. He had put all things under his feet. Listen, the tiniest toenail of a person in the body of Christ is far above all devils. You're all far above. Even if you're at bottom foot of Jesus, you're functioning there as in position as Jesus, you're sitting in right hand, but you're far above all principality and powers. Hallelujah. He says, put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Go over to chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, we used to be dead in our sins, but Jesus quickened us. He had quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. When the Holy Spirit in chapter 6 went down, when Jesus went down, when the Holy Spirit on the third day went down to get Jesus, in the mind of God, in the intention of God, you and I were quickened together with him and raised up with him. That's why you have authority, because you're with him. You're with Jesus. Everybody say, I'm with Jesus. By grace you're saved and had raised us up together. Everybody say, I'm raised up together. And made us sit together. We're sitting together in heavenly places. We're in the heavenly places with Christ right now. You, positionally, spiritually, authoritatively, you're with Jesus in heavenly places. Isn't that wonderful? That's what you are. And the devil, he don't want you to know that. He wants you to say, oh, whatever, there's problems happening in my life. Oh, that's too bad. That's the way life is. Sorry about that. Well, hopefully we can get through this one. We're just going to try to make it. Could you please pray for me, Dad, make it? No, he wants you to take authority there and start living like you have authority. This is not automatic. You say, oh, yeah, I have authority. And just sit there. Devil comes to your house, kicks the door open, goes to your fridge, eats all your ice cream, starts eating your chicken, sits on your couch, dirties up everything, scares you, slaps your kids around. And you know, sometimes we allow the devil to do stuff like that with us. It's not automatic, right? Oh, yeah. God, please get the devil out of my house. He's not going to do it. You got to do it. Now, there are some things that you have to stand for a long time because God does not control people. If you're praying for people out there right now that your family members, your prayer is on them while they're out there and God's working on them, and you got to have faith that God's working on them, and the devil said it's not working, but it's working. He wants you to give up on them. God never will give up on them. He never gave up on you. You know, we try to, anyways, here's Matthew 18:18, Amplified Bible. Watch this, it's going to be loud. It's going to be amplified. Watch this. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, ever say bind. So this is something you're doing. Whatever you bind, that Jesus didn't say, whatever I bind, whatever the Holy Spirit's bind, whatever Jesus binds, no, whatever you bind. Whatever you do. Now listen, here I'm intentionally put out the Amplified because it gives us a description about binding. Because the Greek, gives us a more description, and this the Amplified gives you a little bit of the Greek description of the actual word. It says here, forbid means to, or bind means forbid, declare improper and unlawful on earth, and shall have already been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose or permit, declare lawful on earth, shall have already been loose in heaven. See, God has already determined some things for us. He's in heaven. There are three heavens that we need to be concerned about where God lives. There's a heaven above us where the demon powers operate from. And they're trying to dominate here on earth through people. And people normally open up to the devil through their thinking. And he'll make you think a certain way. And that's why it's important to renew your mind in the Word of God. So in other words, God is saying whatever you permit in your life, whatever you disallow in your life, that's going to happen in your life. If the devil comes around and tries to do something in your life, then you say, no, you cannot do this to me. You cannot touch my body. So there's a certain amount of authority you have. More authority than you ever thought. So sometimes people allow circumstances to continue to be there, and you have authority over it. Thank God for His authority. The victory is ours. You know what Jesus did? So it's why it's important to know the Word. And so get familiar with the Scriptures. Read the Bible every day. Find out what's in the covenant. The covenant is what belongs to you. It's the Bible, the new covenant, the new knowledge of God given to us so that we can know and exercise our rights. People who don't know their rights cannot stand for themselves. Know your authority. Use the power that's given to you. And it's not going to be automatic because you know something. You have to Do this by faith. What did he do for us? What did he do for our benefit? Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, the Amplified Bible says, in him you have been made complete, achieving spiritual stature through Christ, and he is the head over all rule and authority of every angelic and power. Jesus has made us. You know, I used to read this in Ephesians 6:12. Let's put the Ephesians 6:12 there. I'm running over time. I'm trying to get over to you some things here. In Ephesians 6:12, notice this scripture here, guys. He says, for we struggle, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So a lot of times we're fighting against each other, but really, the fight is not really, you know, it's not really against you and that person that you're fighting with. It's against some spirit operating behind that person. And so we're fighting somebody, and we're wasting our time fighting each other. When there's a demon or evil powers causing people's emotions to rise up by giving them thinking and wrong thinking and fighting people. And we all forget about that. Contending only with physical opponents, but against rulers. Now, this is where I used to be afraid. Oh, I'm struggling against rulers. These are the powers that Jesus dethroned. He says, rulers against powers, against world forces of this present darkness, against spiritual force of wickedness in heavenly places. When we take authority over evil spirits, the powers, principalities, and rulers of darkness, those three powers, Jesus takes authority over the other ones, over us. But we have to bind these spirits. We have to come against the spirits and say, no, you don't. You have to do it by faith. And they're trying to dominate you and take authority in your life. So the Bible says in Colossians 2:15, he says, when he disarmed the rulers and authorities and supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumph. Triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. Jesus triumphed over the devil, and his triumphant victory over the devil was awarded to every believer. And over every devil, and he awarded that as to us to exercise our freedom and our right. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Let's go ahead and read it in the Amplified. Hallelujah. Are you guys still with me? Just give me a couple more seconds. I'll give you 2 seconds. Give you 2 minutes. Hallelujah. I'm trying to yell louder than that phone. Are you still here, or you gone home? How many of you have gone home already? Okay. Okay. I look like you're still here. Okay, so you don't find this material at the public library. You won't find this over there at City Hall. You knock on City Hall and ask them, I want to find out about Ephesians. Paul's letters. They're going to say, no, hey, you need to go. Yeah? Okay, so if by trespass of one Adam, one man, Adam, death reigned. Death reigned. Death reigned. The word reign has this connotation of kingship and authority. Death reigned. That's why it talks about, Satan, he's Jesus took the power of death over him when he went down. That's what it says in Philippians. He took away the keys and the power of death over him. That we don't have to be afraid of dying anymore. You should get happy. Nobody's getting happy, but not, theoretically, I'm talking about, spiritual. Those spiritual people will just get happy. No, listen. Much more surely will those who receive abundance of grace. That's you. Grace is the ability to do things you cannot do for yourself. God gives you ability to do things. He gives you that ability to exercise your right and freedom as a citizen of heaven. So we're ambassadors for Jesus. The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we're ambassadors. Verse 18 and 19 and 20, it talks about we're ambassadors. You represent the kingdom of God here. Amen? And it talks about in there in Ephesians that we're just walking through. We're walking through. We're from another kingdom. Okay, so abundance of grace and a gift, the free gift of righteousness shall reign in eternal life. Well, it says eternal life, that's actually life through the one Jesus Christ. And so the other version says reign in this life with the eternal powers of God. You know, you got to see the scriptures more and more. Hallelujah. Jesus, we can cast out devils. Let me just give you a couple more scriptures, and we're gonna shut her down for the night. Amen. Sounds so drastic. We're gonna shut this down right now. Now, let's go right down to the end of my message over here. So here, let's give you three scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, I'm reading the TPT translation so that all the people who are TPT people will understand this more fully. It says, take a decisive stand against him. Let's just put it in the King James for a second. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. Let's look at the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. There we go. This wasn't listening to me. This is voice activated. How many people know that? In fact, when I say something back there clicks something and it comes on here. Whom resist? In fact, let's go to verse 8 for a second. And to verse 9. Okay, watch this. Be sober. How many sober people we got here? Yeah, you're very serious. Okay. Be vigilant. How many of you are vigilant? Ready to fight. Okay. Because, okay, let me read it. Let me read it first. You're too fast, voice activation. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, not your chum, your adversary, the devil. A lot of people like the chum, but the devil. Once in a while. Oh, he's all right. No, he's not. The adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh, seeking whom he devour. Whom resist? That's your enemy. You resist him in faith. So you have the power right now by faith to resist him. What it means to hold him back and say, you can't come here. If you didn't have authority, you could not resist him. He's a devil walking around trying to attack you, but you're vigilant and you're sober. You're not drunk with this world's cares. Jesus has got all your cares. People that Luke says that some people are just drunk with the world's cares. Heavy and just like, what's happening to me? I don't know what's going on. No, we're not with the world's cares, all the anxieties. So resist him, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother in the world. Like, you're not the only one. The devil likes to tell you that, oh, you're the only one that's having this. You're the only one. I know it's 4 o'clock in the morning. You're all alone. Nobody's up at this time. Even God, Jesus is sleeping. Now, he'll tell you all kinds of stuff. Let's go to James. No, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, I believe, in verse 7. James, I think I'm in the wrong. No, 4:27. Excuse me, Ephesians. Ephesians 4:27. Anybody got it? Okay, here it says, let's go to the previous verse just to give some context. Be angry and sin not. You're ready to fight. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Because we can open the door to the devil by being angry, being resentful, hating people, holding on to hurts, feeling sorry for yourself. That's you giving the enemy an open door in your life. So neither give place to the devil. It's if you are being attacked, you're the one responsible. Sober up. Amen. You're drunk with the world's ways. We used to say this when we were kids. Dummy up, man. Dummy up. How many of you remember that? If you're 7, you thought you were cool, right? Are you enjoying this? As much as I am? Eh? Okay, watch this. James chapter 4, verse 7. This is going to get you real good. You're just going to, you said, leave my car. I'm going to run home. I'll come and get it tomorrow. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Receive the devil. No? Is that what it says? Receive him. Befriend him. No. Or be his child. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So you, if you're submitted to God, you know, when you're submitted to God, it's a whole lot better with your authority when you're submitted to God. Because if you're not submitted to God in some area of your life, your faith ain't going to be strong. You'll have condemnation in your heart. If you have little secret sins in your life, you'll just say, I don't know if I can do this. But you can. See, that's how the devil gets in there. He'll tell you can't do certain things because, you know, you got a little bit of this going on, a little bit of this going on in there, and you're not going to be confident. The Bible says you're not confident. So this is a good scripture. So has God given you authority? I'm glad you understand that. I'm glad you know that. Hallelujah. So some things can happen that, you know, we're not going to allow it. Lord, we want to thank you tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody stand, please, on your hands. Because people say, kind of redundant to say, stand on your feet, please. That's what I normally do. Can we do a handstand? Hallelujah. Well, I love Jesus. How many people love God? Aren't you glad he's given you authority? He's given you power over all devils. And we resist him, his work in our lives. Let's dedicate our lives together right now. And let us pray together. Let us pray the prayer of consecration, dedication to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand here as your children. We thank you that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, we've given you our lives. And tonight we freshly renew our commitment to you. And tonight we give you again authority in all our lives. Whatever it is, we're coming to you tonight. We're telling you, Lord Jesus, you're Lord of my life. You're my Savior. Have lordship in my life. We thank you for the power and the authority that you've given us. Thank you today, Lord, that I can walk in the freedom to exercise my right as your child, not to let the devil dominate through my flesh, and not let the devil dominate through circumstances that would cause me hardship, and not let the devil himself come and try to assert himself in my life. He has no right and no authority to attack us. And so we plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our families, over every aspect of our lives. And we serve him, Lord. We bind you right now. We command you to get your hands off our homes, our marriages, our work, our employment, our finances, our minds, our emotions. We loose ourselves from your grip. And I confess that I'm free from sickness and disease because you have given me authority to exercise my right to be well and to be whole. I give you praise, for you are such a good God, a loving and kind Father. Thank you, Lord God. We give you praise. And tonight is a great night because you, Lord, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.